So 4 months ago, I checked to make sure that it was this year and not a different year. We talked about the meaning of shalshelet in the Torah, which only comes up four times. Last time we talked about the shalshelet of Avram, of Eved Avram, in the when he is hesitating, looking for a wife for Yitzchak. But there is another one in this week's parasha, and that is. Towards the end in Shishi, Vayakrev et ha'ayil hasheni el hamiluim, Vayismichu Aharon uvanav yedidehem al rosh ha'ayil. So they will offer the second ram. This is in the consecration of the Kohanim, in Parakhet. So in the middle of the consecration of the Kohanim, it says, and they brought the second ram, Vayishchat. So now you get a shalshelet, right? Yeah, exactly. You know, up, 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 down, up, down, up, down, up, down. You know, whatever. Which, again, in the standard Ashkenazi thing has, you know, over 20 notes. Right? It's you know, something like, you know, exact. It's three pazers, essentially. So something, 20-some-odd notes, depending exactly how you do a pazer. Vayishchat, vayikach, Moshe midamo, vayitein al tanuch ozen, Aharon hayamanit, valbon yado hayamanit, valbon raglo hayamanit. Now. Why is there a shalshelet? So if you remember, 4 months ago, we had seen that several mafarshim from people like Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Time of the Kra, to more academic treatments of it, assume that shalshelet implies hesitation. Right? That you're meant to actually feel the hesitation. Now, the classic one is... Exactly, right? Well... So two of them are very classic. One is that when Yosef is about to says no to sleeping with Eshet Potiphar, it says he said no, Vayimayin, except Vayimayin, you're stuck there for 20 plus notes because, as Chazal note, that was really hard for him to say no to. Or Lot, when he's leaving, Vayit Mama, he hesitated. In case you wondered when it says, and he hesitated, and he tarried, and you get a very long one. So obviously, it is highlighting a certain, well, hesitation. So, you know, that sort of makes sense. On Vayit Mama, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that Shalshelet Moreh Laharachat Ha'inyan. It implies a certain delay, right? Right, stretching out of that moment. So, why Lot? Well, Lot hesitated and tarried more than he should have. Vayimayin, because, well, yeah, he was struggling against his Yetzer Hara. Now, that makes sense in those contexts. And Eliezer, we had talked about why is Eliezer hesitating, right? Maybe because he, as Rashi notes, really he wanted his child, his daughter to marry Rivka, or, you know, he was, what? To marry Yitzchak, thank you. To marry Yitzchak, and because he had been the heir apparent to Avram, and by making sure that Yitzchak gets a wife, he won't be the heir. Right, there are all types of reasons he might have hesitated. But that if that psychological interpretation is correct, so then you've got to wonder what is going on here, right? What is this Vayishchat? Right? What is the long extension of the moment of, and he shechted the karban. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, and this I'm much less convinced of, says, because he wanted a lot of blood to come out. He needed a lot of blood to dip on all the fingers and toes of the Kohanim. So he needed, like, you know, a ganza amount, you know, a lot, the ganza blood, all the blood, right? What is that? No, he like shecht and then he's just waiting. Now, that, okay, I don't know how convincing I find that, but, and this is why I called Graber to come, so I found in this article, which I think we actually had mentioned when we did this, you know, 4 months ago, though I didn't listen back to what we had said this year. You know, I never know exactly what we said in a given year, because, you know, at this point I've been giving Parsha for so many years. Who knows what I've said in any particular year? Moshe Navon has an article where he suggests that the key to it is the Agadata that we were doing this week. Right? So if you remember, the Agadata this past week said that what happened at this moment, Moshe had been a Kohen for 7 days. And now, according to one day in the Gemara, he lost his kahuna. He'd been functioning as Kohen for the 7 days of the inauguration. And what is he doing now? Shechting the animal to anoint his brother and his kids as Kohen and giving up his status of being a Kohen. So this Rav Moshe Navon says, aha, I have found the hesitation in the Shel Shelet. Right, which is, right, according to this Midrashic tradition, that he was about to lose it. And it's a punishment. And he's not happy about it, right? That whole Midrashic tradition, right, whether it's a punishment or not, definitely if it's a punishment that he wanted to be a Kohen and now God is stripping it from him, so he might hesitate in anointing his brother. Right, so now he writes as follows. There is subtle yet telling evidence of Moshe's disappointment over being removed from the position he was originally destined. Though Vayikra chapter 8 narrates the actual event of the priest's installation, it is the portion of Tetzaveh which contains the directives which define the inauguration. Most appropriately, it is from this portion and this portion alone since his birth that Moshe's name is conspicuously absent, right? Famously, he's not in Tetzaveh. Now, the more famous reason that's given for that is because he said Mecheni na misifrecha in Kitisa, and he got erased from a parsha, right? That's from the Balaturim, right? That's a, you know, classic homiletic approach. But the Balaturim, there is a second homiletic approach which connects to our Gemara and this pasuk, which is va'od, and this is the in the first pasuk of Tetzaveh, the Balaturim says va'od dezua parasha midaberet b'tachsisei kihuna. Parsha Tetzaveh talks about, right, the big day kahuna. It talks about the Kohanim being priests. Umi Moshe kahuna gdolah latzeit. Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. El al yidei shesirev lalechet b'shlichut ha-makom. Natla mimenu v'natla ha-aron. But because he didn't listen to God, it was taken from him. Lechein lo nizgar shmo shel Moshe b'parsha zu mipnei agmat nafsho. And therefore Moshe's name is taken out to highlight how bad he felt. And if that's the case, this Rabbi Navon says, it was not simply a procedure of installing his brother into a position of great honor, but rather that he was installing him into what was to have been his position of honor. And the Orach Chaim, in commenting the unusual phraseology of God's command to Moshe to install his brother's high priest, explains, and this is his English translation, and you shall bring close to you. God said to Moshe at the time of the event of the installation, you, meaning not only that I command you, but more so that you yourself being close, Aaron in your stead, and do this with such eagerness as if it was your own will, for this action is in place of a sacrifice and to atone for your brazenness before Hashem. Right, that he actually told him, you have to make him Kohen happily as kapara for the sin for which you lost your kahuna. And if that's the case, then you can imagine why it was drawn out, right? Because after 7 days of getting to be the Kohen Gadol, essentially, he now has to... Now, there is another point here, which is that Rashi assumes that who else was hesitating? Aaron. Very good, right? Rashi says that he had to persuade Aaron to come. And in that sense, that also may have brought the delay, right? So I thought that was a very interesting shot, which in light of the notion that Moshe wanted to be Kohen Gadol and was losing and being punished, combine that with the Balaturim of the Orach Chaim, that's why Vayishchat gets the hesitation, because Moshe is being told, this is your punishment, is going through this procedure and making Aaron Kohen instead of you. And therefore, as Rabbi Navon finishes here, it is this final sacrifice, this momentous Vayishchat, that is so poignantly denoted by the Shalshelet. With its long extended note, one can feel, if for only a second, the anguish of the first rung of the note, the resolve and forbearance on the second rung, and finally the humility and self-triumph that distinguishes true strength, true mesirat nefesh, true greatness. Right now, he does it. right? So it shows his hesitation, but at the end he does it, and that is also a testament to Moshe's greatness. I saw another shot which I did not like, which was the suggestion that, well, if you follow the Rambam, that all karbanot are b'di'eved, and really, right, or you follow like Rav Kook, that, you know, really all that we shouldn't eat meat at all, and, you know, bizmana mashiach, as he says in Chazan HaTzimchonot, Vashalom, that all karbanot will be, you know, minchas, that maybe, you know, shechting an animal made him uncomfortable. I find this to be not compelling because, well, first of all, I find it not compelling in general, but B, this isn't like the first time we've had shechita or shechita da karbanot. We've had many others. We will have many others. Why, like, this would be the... I don't know. I just don't... How does he say that everything that Moshe went to? What? Again, that's a Rav Kook shir, and you can ask Roy Sklar. I think last time someone asked me, I said you can go, and Roy Sklar, I think, has given shir on it. So I really didn't I didn't love this this shot. I mean, I came across it. I'm much more compelled based on what we did last week. In Agadata, that this is supposed to highlight Moshe's hesitation and making his brother Kohen, that seems to be actually a very nice expansion of that idea.